Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. I'm Justice Mosqueda, joined here with Tyler Brook. If you're listening to this, the big news just dropped. The Packers, they've received a seventh round compensatory.
There you pick. Go.
So we got four seventh round picks now. We have the
five and one. Seven.
Yeah. We have the original seventh round pick. We got the comp pick. We got the one that we got for Cole Van Lennon in the trade. And then the pick swap that we got with the Rams for Bohorquez. So we did it. Hank Banner.
Nothing says Super Bowl contender quite like potentially rostering 4 to 5 7th round picks.
And last year we were like, there's no way Goot's going to make all these picks. And he made all the picks. So we'll see what happens. Rodgers watch. I mean, what are even the vibes, right? Like, it's just like,
I'm drinking. That's where we're at.
Yeah, we're just waiting for compensation to be figured out. It seems like compensation's figured out. It's just like the contract at this point, right?
Pelissero supposedly said the contract's figured out. Sauce Gardner just said that, like, the packages are in place. On like a Twitch stream, because that's where we're getting our news nowadays, on Rodgers Watch. So it seems like everything's figured out, and it's literally just like, so Rodgers, what do you want to do? And I don't know why he's taking his time on it. Seems like this is your only avenue, bud, if you want to keep playing.
Yeah, I don't know. Make a decision. Just make a decision, Aaron.
You're killing my boy.
Sleep schedule's a mess. Just make a decision. We said that we were going to be talking about the safeties that I hadn't watched. And you were going to go back and, I can't remember, Brandon Joseph? You're going to watch Brandon Joseph?
Yep.
So let's talk about them. I watched Jair Brown, the safety from Penn State. I do have the benefit of watching him after the combine, after he ran the 4.6. To me, he looks like he has that top speed of a 4.6. Like, you can even watch, if you just like watch his highlights, right? So like plays where like he's going to get the ball in his hand, because he does get the ball in his hand a fairly decent amount. Like, I think that top end speed is going to be a limiting issue for him. But Jay Ward from LSU, the other guy that you liked,
yeah,
he actually worked at corner at the combine. I really did like him. Like, I would have him right behind, or right in that group with like Brandon. He's very different from Brandon Joseph, because he is more of like a cover guy, and they moved him around kind of everywhere. But I really do like him. So I'd be willing to say, like, Jay Ward, top four safety, like him, Chris Smith from Georgia, Jordan Battle from Alabama, and then Brandon Joseph from Notre Dame. Those are the guys that I like the first time around.
So we're taking Brian Branch, and then are we taking Antonio Johnson and taking them and putting them in like slot?
Johnson, you can call a safety. I'm fine with that. Brian Branch, I think I'm putting as a slot. Him and Jamie Robinson were the two.
Cool.
I kind of threw in there. I'm still Antonio Johnson. I'm still not totally sold. He can do anything. Like, I understand he's big and like he's solid across the board, but like, Jay Ward, I know Jay Ward's traits, right? Like, Jay Ward, yeah, like, he can move, right?
Really,
like,
well,
he's going to be, yeah, a good coverage guy. Antonio Johnson, outside of being big, I still am not totally sure what he does.
Yep. I did go back and watch Brandon Joseph. By the way, just very glad you liked Ward. I did not hear anyone talking about him, and it was driving me nuts. Yeah. Brandon Joseph, the one thing you pointed out when we talked on the last draft talk, was that, like, mental IQ, football IQ, mental processing, all of that. And you mentioned, like, pre-snap communication. I saw that a bit. But it was just like the diagnosing and breaking on the ball that really impressed me as far as that goes. Like there was a couple, I think a couple plays I saw where like he's in that robber situation, right? And they're running mesh and he's just breaking, knowing which guy they're trying to throw to in that situation. And like stuff like that gets me excited. And I can see that role. We heard him talk a little bit at the combine, seemed like a real smart kid too. So yeah, I'm definitely a bit higher on him. I ended up moving him just behind Jay Ward and ahead of Jair Brown.
Yeah. You don't want to do the, like, he went to X school, so therefore he's very smart. But, like, he was a Northwestern kid who transferred to Notre Dame.
That's too smart. You know? Like, two of them.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, come on. So, yeah, that's kind of where I sit with the safety class. They had a horrible day at the combine.
Bad. Except Sidney Brown.
Except for Sidney Brown, who's, like, 5'10 flat and the Packers aren't ever going to look at him. We'll see. Maybe, I mean, I was going to write a thing up today until I realized it's just Aaron Rodgers talk 24/7 right now. So no one's going to read anything about the safety class right now, but like basically every safety in this class would be the smallest or the slowest defensive back Goot has drafted.
Don't tell me that, man. I didn't need to hear that.
There's basically like two guys. It's the kid from California and then the other Illinois.
Jartavius Martin.
Yeah, and he might convert to corner. So it's like those two guys. Everyone else in the safety class would be the smallest or the slowest guy Goot would have drafted at the at a defensive back position. So
I didn't even know the Cal kid existed until the combine happened. What about Jordan Battle? Like he's not small, right? And he tested it actually pretty okay. His RAS was what? 8.99. I mean, like that's that pretty 40 good.
Goot has, he drafted one guy who runs 4.4s. Everyone else runs 4.3s. And wow. Then Shamar John Charles. So that's kind of how that works out. Like he's only drafted freak athlete DBs and going back through Ted Thompson, right? Like all this stuff gets passed down. It was the Ron Wolf stuff that came from Al Davis and then it goes to Ted Thompson and then it goes to Goot. Like they really focus high weight speed stuff, you know, across the board, but especially at DB. Like they haven't drafted a guy as small as Sidney Brown since Mike Sherman took Ahmad Carroll. Right.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we're talking 2004. Hey,
Campbell's Chunky Soup's Ahmad Carroll. I don't know why that's still stuck in my head, but I visibly remember him getting a commercial. I was like, why is Ahmad Carroll in a commercial?
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. They're going to have to break their tendencies at some point if they're going to address the safety position at all.
My feelings have not changed at all on Chris Smith. Just watch him run fit the alley and you'll be like, okay, I still love him.
I don't care. I have no idea how he ran a 4.6.
He's so good.
I'm ready to cope for whatever he runs at his pro day. He's going to run like a 4.4 at his pro day, and I'm going to just be like, see? Let's get into the tight end class.
That's the supposed best to be the class. Headliner.
It's supposed to be the headliner of all this.
Can I just say real quick before we get into it, all I heard was about how great this class was, and I had watched a handful of guys, and I was like, yeah, like there's some really good guys at the top, but like where is all the depth? And then I watched the depth guys, and I went, oh, yeah, there's just like – everyone here can probably have a role in the NFL. It's a pretty loaded class.
So I saw six guys. So I'm excited at the end. We'll talk about the guys who I didn't see because I know Daniel Jeremiah said that there's like 11 guys who are going to go in the top 100 in this tight end class.
I watched 11. I don't know which other guys I didn't watch he's referring to because I don't know if all 11 guys I watched are top 100 players.
Yeah, I don't know. That seemed like a crazy number. I think if you look at the consensus draft board right now, the tight end class, there's six guys who are projected to go in the top 100. And then so six guys in the top 75. And then the next guy after that tight end seven is Cameron Latu, and he's ranked 155th. So
that was the last guy I watched.
Seems like a stretch that there would be 11 guys to go in the top 100, but I guess we'll see. I guess let's just start at the top of the class just in terms of the consensus draft board. Michael Mayer, he's ranked 20th on the board from Notre Dame. All-American, has been productive since the moment he stepped on the field as a true freshman. He's 21 years old. He has like 3,000 yards, you know, receiving for Notre Dame. He has the all-time, I believe, tight end receptions and receiving yards record for Notre Dame, despite declaring a year early. And again, he was a true junior doing it. I think he's, I don't want to spoil this because I think we have the same take.
Yeah, we do.
I think Darnell Washington's better when I watch them, but I do think Michael Mayer is kind of underrated because I think a lot of people look at him and say, like, he's a tight end and he's not going to be, you're not swinging for Kelsey or anything like that, right? You're looking for a guy. The two guys who always come to mind are like Jason Witten and Antonio Gates, where it's like they're just going to be on the field constantly, right? And because they're on the field, it's going to feel like they're always open. He's strong enough that he can play Y, right? He's good enough of a route runner and stuff like that, and a contested catch artist and all that stuff, that he's going to be productive as a pass catcher. But he's just going to be like that solid guy who, like, in the red zone, he can high point stuff, obviously. But, like, he's going to be just like the I'm open underneath constantly, I can't believe you forgot about me type of guy, right?
I just want to preface this before we get into the top two guys. I do genuinely think the top two tight ends in this class, even including like positional value, are first round picks, like easily to me. Yeah. I don't think Mayer is as good of a blocker as people, at least just national media, gives him credit for. Like, he's a good blocker.
Agree.
He gets talked about like he's like a generational blocker in line. And like, I do not see that part. What I do see, and every time I watch him, there's a couple plays. I got to see him in person too. His release off a slant, things like that. Tight ends should not be able to release like that. Like, tight ends should not have a release package against press like he does. I know we have some APC buddies that aren't thrilled with Michael Mayer or in love with him and actually think
he has... Let's name him. Paul Archon.
They hate him. They do not like him.
They don't like the idea of it. And I understand their point. I'm just saying, I know the Packers needs, and I've seen the guys at the top of this draft class. I wouldn't be hurt if Michael Mayer was the 15th pick. I wouldn't.
Nope.
I would not. But I do agree. I mean, the way people kind of talk about him as a blocker, and he is a true Y, right? Like, he is going to be a guy.
He will be good. He won't be exceptional.
Yeah, he's not Gronk.
Yes.
Like, he's not Gronk. But to your point, like, the way he releases and like what he could do as a pass catcher at 265 pounds is pretty rare. Like, that is a matchup thing. The weird thing about his combine, well, one of the six tight ends at the top of this draft class, he's the quote unquote like worst athlete out of all of them. He's still a very good athlete, especially at his size. It's just everyone else is a damn near freak, basically. He also dropped 15 pounds from his playing weight to what he was at the combine. And I don't know why he did that. He ended up coming in at, like, I think it was 249. Yep. He was listed at 265 at Notre Dame. And by all accounts, he was playing around that weight. So I don't know why he made the decision to drop. I guess it's probably so that, you know, he could jump and run faster and stuff like that. But I don't know. Seemed like a poor decision to me. You should have stuck at 265. You're going to be playing at 265.
There were some real weigh-in things that bumped me out of the combine this year. I mean, we can talk all about Tuli Tuipulotu and how that broke my heart. But yeah, that was very strange. I think a lot of guys are just trying to drop weight to make those athletic testing numbers look a bit better. But I disagreed with it, and I'm sure I'll have no problem getting that way back on.
So technically, he's the third ranked tight end on the consensus board at 35 overall. But I want to talk about him because we already tipped our hand. Darnell Washington of Georgia. He might be the one.
He's him, as the kids say.
He's so big, dude. He's so big. Let me look at what he was listed at. 6'6 and a half, 264 pounds. 11-inch hands.
He ran 11-inch hands. What the hell?
He ran a 4.64 and had a 4.08 short shuttle, which is like the top 1 percentile of tight ends, you know, historically. Mind you, this guy is like the best run blocker we've seen in a long time.
He's a sixth offensive lineman. I mean, the way Georgia used him, he is an absolute road grader.
And he's a tackle who hurdles people, dude.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, I understand. Mayer is the easier projection. I understand why maybe the NFL would have him higher, right? Just because it's like, yeah, consensus All-American. He's been the pass-catching demon for, you know, his entire career. Darnell Washington hasn't had the pass-catching production. But if there's ever a guy who's going to take that jump at the NFL level, it looks like Darnell Washington's situation. He was a role player, basically. Not necessarily a role player. I mean, he was the Y in Georgia's offense. He was the hand in the dirt tight end. But their pass-catching tight end was Brock Bowers, who came in and basically instantly was like the most productive pass-catching tight end in college football. He's not even eligible until this upcoming draft. He's probably going to be a top 10 pick in and of himself. It's not like Georgia was throwing the ball a ton just because they didn't really have to, right? Like, George Pickens didn't get a ton of yards in that Georgia offense just because, like, they were mauling people. They're a team that just won back-to-back titles. Like,
yeah,
that's what it, like, if a guy's not productive at the college level, you want a story like Darnell Washington's.
It drives me nuts seeing people like, well, he's not as productive as a pass catcher. I'm like, that's not an evaluation. That's you looking at a box score and not thinking about the scheme he's in. He's not playing the same role as a Dalton Kincaid or Michael Mayer. This guy is, I'm going to block the crap out of you, and then occasionally I'm going to get the ball. And when I do, have fun trying to tackle me. And you mentioned a name earlier, and we talk about floors and ceilings. This man's ceiling is Rob Gronkowski. How is it not?
Dude, I see it. I see the vision.
How do you not? Yeah. It's like if LeBron James and Mercedes Lewis had a baby and it was Rob Gronkowski. Like, I've never seen
he's a tight end
block like he does. Yes, he's a literal creative player.
He's a creative player. Like, if you maxed out everything on, like, look, I don't want to say NCAA 14 because I've been playing a lot of NCAA 14 recently.
We know, just I'm a little worried for you sometimes.
But if you, like, maxed out some tight end stats on NCAA 14, like, it looks like Darnell Washington. You know what I mean? Super violent on the sideline. Like, when he gets the ball, it was almost a novelty at Georgia, and not because he wasn't a very good athlete. Like, he'll hurdle dudes who go low on him at the sideline. If it's like a gang tackle, he'll literally try to fight every single person on that sideline before going out of bounds. It's insane. He's such a violent player. There was a clip of him. I was watching. Did you watch the Mississippi State game by any chance?
I started his evaluation long ago. I can't even remember. I should maybe start marking down games I've watched.
So Georgia, and this is probably an evaluation you should use for Forbes, the little corner who showed up at like 166 pounds or whatever it was. Georgia's game plan was, dude, we're going to get Darnell Washington on that small corner. And there was a lot of violence, and Forbes did not have a very fun day. That game was a highlight tape for him. I get it. If you were like, we're taking Darnell Washington at 15, we're taking him over Michael Mayer, the plan isn't to have a super polished pass catcher year one. We want to have the freak in a few years. It's hard for me to fight against that. Like, I think Darnell Washington's ceiling as a run blocker, as a pass catcher, everything is as high or higher than Michael Mayer's.
And you think of the way the offense was ran for Green Bay last year with all the pin and pull and Josiah DeGuara lead blocking and stuff like that. Now imagine all those plays. Aaron Jones is still in Green Bay and Darnell Washington's helping out with that. Imagine how much pressure that takes off of Jordan Love. Rodgers is gone.
Yeah. Because the two main blocks, really, that you want to evaluate tight ends with, right? It's a down block, right? And then it's a base block. Those are, because you're not going to do too much with those guys. It's not like you're going to pull them or anything like that. No. Unless they're in the backfield. If they're a hand in the dirt guy like Mayer and Darnell Washington are, it's kind of those two blocks. And Darnell Washington gets after, like, the dream, right, is you bring back Mercedes Lewis for a year, draft Darnell Washington, and then just have Mercedes just raise Darnell Washington as one of his own, right? And then he's a freak from there on out.
Just hire Mercedes Lewis onto the coaching staff, man. Let him retire.
Yeah, do it. Let's go to technically the second-ranked guy on the consensus draft board.
You don't want to keep talking. I could talk about an hour about Darnell Washington.
Yeah, I think people will tune out, though. 27th overall, Dalton Kincaid, tight end from Utah. I watched him. Was not the biggest fan. Couldn't figure out why. So this guy, all right, you talk about him, because if I talk about him, it's just going to sound negative from the rip. Go.
So I know, like, Daniel Jeremiah as him was like a top 15 prospect or whatever. And I respect his process. He does good work. I have a top 50 grade on him. I think he does a lot of things good to well to very well. Right. I think he can make some impressive acrobatic catches. I love his effort as a blocker. I don't see the trait that makes him stand out above the rest of the class. Also, I think the way he blocks is genuinely unsafe sometimes, because he'll just throw his face into someone without any technique, and I'm worried he's going to get hurt doing that.
Yeah. So 6'3" and a half at the combine, 246. He didn't work out because he has a back injury. Worth noting. Like, we just overlooking back injuries now? I didn't realize.
Don't throw your technique matters in blocking, man. You're going to get yourself hurt.
Yeah.
That's pure speculation. I don't know where that came from.
He kind of broke out this past year because Keithy got injured. We talked about Brant Keithy in the APC Slack a little bit. He's going to be use check. So he was another tight end that was at Utah. He's a guy who gets a bunch of carries. He gets like end around carries at the goal line and stuff like that. I thought he was going to be like the guy in that Utah tight end room. And then he ended up getting hurt for most of the year. So Kincaid ends up having a breakout. Kincaid only played 1 year of high school football. And then he ended up walking on to University of San Diego, which is a non-scholar. It's FCS, right? It's the lower division of Division One, but it's a non-scholarship conference. So he becomes a FCS All-American in 2019, ends up transferring to Utah. But even with Keithy out, when Utah was in like their two tight end sets and stuff, they still used a different tight end as the Y. They used a guy, Logan Kindle, who was a Utah transfer, another FCS All-American. I don't know how Utah is getting their hands on all these FCS All-Americans from out west. But I kind of think, like, Kincaid is like an F. Like, he's that move guy that he's almost like a better version of DeGuara, but he's not the hand in the dirt guy. That's not how you want to use him.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to think about it. Again, I think there is a definite role for him, and I think he'll put great numbers early in his career. Yeah. Like, he will get a lot of passes thrown his way. I just don't see the all-around tight end prospect compared to the other two guys, where they do really have like special traits. So that's why, again, I think Kincaid will be good, but as far as a first-round pick, I'm just not nearly as high on that stuff.
I think you have him in the right spot where you're like top 50. I'm like, yeah. That makes sense. Pending his back injury, right? Like, obviously, that's going to change some things. But, again, the consensus draft board has him higher than Darnell Washington. I'm not going to listen to that. I can't believe you guys.
If Thanos was a tight end, I'm going to take that guy number one.
Let's go fourth-ranked tight end on the consensus draft board, number 47, Luke Musgrave from Oregon State. Crazy background, right? Like, he's a freak athlete. His RAS at this point is a 9.94, right? That's on a scale of 0 to 10. So we're talking, what is that, top 6%?
If I can do that. Basically top half of a percent, yeah.
Top half of a percent. I messed the decimal point by 1 point. Freak athlete. He's basically 6'6". 253. He ran a 4.61. He's the nephew of Bill Musgrave, the former Cal offensive coordinator, who's now an analyst with the Cleveland Browns. His entire story is kind of weird. Like, Oregon State, they have a really good coaching staff, and this is where, like, the me being out west and, like, known coaches and stuff kind of helps out in the evaluation. Like, Oregon State, after last year, basically said, like, our best athlete is not getting the ball enough. We need to be feeding him. The plan coming into this past season was let's feed Luke Musgrave. And through two games, he leads the team in receiving yards. I think he had basically like, I think it was like 190 something and change yards over two games. He ends up getting hurt in the second game of the year with a knee injury that basically ended his season. But if you watch him, I think he's the best shot at a swing for a like Darren Waller, Travis Kelce type. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he's got a long way to go, and he's an absolute spaz as a blocker right now. Like he'll do stuff like you hear like, yeah, he's the nephew of a former FCS offensive coordinator and stuff like that. You think the guy's a lot more polished. Like, he'll still do the stuff. He'll do like the Pee Wee football thing where like he's loading up the block and he's like holsters, you know, he's got his hands in his holsters ready to block a guy. Like it almost looks like a novelty when he's blocking dudes because they do move him out and stuff like that. He doesn't have the reps yet. So like,
no.
I think he has a long way to go. And obviously like the production isn't there because they didn't use him. And then obviously there was the injury. Very weird evaluation. I think the type of offense you're going to run is going to be a huge swing of like how you grade the guy. Like, I think like Washington, right? I think Washington's a team that makes a lot of sense for Luke Musgrave because like they're functionally already were basically like a spread team. People don't think about Washington like that, but they were as spread as anyone this side of the Arizona Cardinals, right? They don't really have a tight end who stands out, and they just got Bieniemy as the offense coordinator who knows how to use a guy like that, right? So, like, I think it makes sense for a team like that in, like, early second to be like, hey, we're going to draft Musgrave, and then hopefully in year two or year three he becomes that guy. But, like, in Green Bay, I don't know if they're going to use – like, right now he might be, like – in year two, he might be Mike Gesicki, right?
There we go. I like that one. Yeah.
Do we think that the Packers would really use Mike Gesicki? I really don't think so.
No.
That's what they have Alan Lazard for, you know?
I agree with your points on the like lack of polish. I mean, when I'm watching him, and granted, I didn't get to watch a ton of games because of that injury and trying to go back, rounds off routes a little bit. He looks like a little panicky when he's like trying to hands catch stuff, which seems. And when you watch him carry a linebacker up that seam and you just see the play speed and the explosiveness, you see the traits. You're like, whoa, I mean, this guy can really be an explosive playmaker for you. Get those chunk plays for your offense. So like you said, it's a hard evaluation, man. Like, context matters. A season ending injury matters. A lack of true involvement, like, you know, consistently for an entire year in that offense as a pass catcher matters. So it's hard for me. I did not put him in my top 50. I marked him down with a second round grade, day two grade. A little disappointing, but you know, the upside is absolutely there. You see the tools. Yeah. It's very easy to see.
I just think it's going to take some time and he needs the right home. He definitely needs the right home.
Washington fit a lot.
Yeah. If you just try to use him as like a traditional Y, I don't know. I mean, it might hurt the kid's confidence a little, frankly. Yeah.
Hurt his feelings.
Yeah. The fifth-ranked guy on the consensus draft board, Sam Laporta out of Washington, or out of Iowa. I don't know why I said Washington. Very crazy background. So have you seen his high school stats?
No.
Okay. He had 3,796 receiving yards in high school to go along with 50 receiving touchdowns.
Was he a wide receiver?
He was a wide receiver.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he's top three all time in Iowa's high school football record book in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. who is a slot receiver. And so he's 6'3 1/4, 245 pounds. He is a smaller guy, a 9.26 RAS, and ran a 4.59 40 yard dash. He's a pass catcher. I mean, that's what he is. Was not when they definitely used him as a Y at times, just because it's like, dude, it's Iowa. Like, that's just kind of like what they're going to do.
You're going to be an inline tight end and you're going to like it.
Yeah. They run a lot of ace formations, which is like two tight ends, but like one is on each side. Right. So they have like two Ys technically, but when they did their YY stuff, which is, you know, two tight ends to the same side, they would use Laporta as the wing guy, the off guy. And then 95, who was their, I think he's like 6'6" or something like that. Was kind of like their inline dude. So that kind of tells you one thing. They also would split Laporta out, you know, on third downs and stuff like that. I actually really liked him. If Kincaid's going to go in the first round and Laporta is going to go in the second or third, I'm just going to wait for Laporta. That's kind of how I felt about it. Like, they're both kind of like the smaller pass catcher guys. I think they're both Fs. F, by the way, is like F or H. It's the off tight end, right? Like, again, like more of a plus DeGuara is kind of the best way to think about it. Thought it was funny that he has like the weirdest stance I've ever seen of him lined up outside at receiver. He's just got like this elongated back leg that just like shoots out at a 45 degree angle. So I think there's potential for him to even get better, but I think he has the best release and the best yak ability of any of the tight ends I saw. But he's obviously going to be more of a pass catcher. I don't think he's going to be the inline guy. He might be your like pass catching second tight end in the NFL, but like he's going to be really good in that role.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff you mentioned, I have the same notes on. You know, he's very fun. You can see him create that separation. He has a pretty nice stiff arm after the catch, which is fun. I almost think of him like a big slot at the NFL level. When I see him block, I appreciate he does not shy away from contact. He does try. I just don't know if the play strength is there to be like truly effective. But when you see that, you know, he's got really good hands. He can, unlike a lot of these tight ends, which surprises me, it feels like he can pick up a ton of yards after the catch. Like, he has the contact balance and stuff like that. I watched a lot of tight ends in this class that, like, the moment they come into contact, they're just falling over. Laporta was not one of those guys. I have him ranked as tight end 7, but in my defense, 5 through 8 are all like razor thin margins. Yeah. I think like this next group or tier of tight ends, all different play styles, but all very fun players that I think can contribute in, just in different ways.
And then the last guy I watched, Tucker Kraft, ranked 75th on the consensus board. He's from South Dakota State. Worth mentioning here. So like Tucker Kraft mentioned that he turned down like $100,000 NIL deal to stay at South Dakota State. Bama was fishing for a lot of these guys. I know Musgrave was another one that they tried to recruit very hard, and he ended up staying at Oregon State. So like Kraft had the opportunity to jump up a level last year and just decided not to. Had a lower leg and ankle tear in the season opener, so like he ended up, you know, fighting through injury for a lot of the year, but I thought he was really good. So he had a 9.58 RAS. You know, he's almost 5'6" flat, 254 pounds, ran a 4.96 at the combine. Checks all kind of like the height, weight, speed stuff you want to see. He played true Y at South Dakota State. I thought he's a solid block. I think he's like less strong Michael Mayer. It's kind of like what I ended up selling him as to myself. Think he, you know, he plucks balls out of the air, all that stuff. I think I really like him. I have him as my third tight end, and a lot of that is just because
oh wow okay
he he's a Y he can be that hand in the dirt guy. He can catch some passes. Cause I think if you're bracketing these or bucketing these guys, right? Washington, Mayer, Kraft, those are your inline guys, right? And they can obviously split out and do a little bit of that stuff, but you want to use them as inline guys. Like they want to be, you know, down to down. They're your tight end. That's their role. And then Kincaid and Laporta are the F guys, right? They're like your little move around guys. And then Musgrave is like his entire, he's like the tight end slash receiver, right? Like that's kind of how I think of this draft class.
That's fair. On Kraft, I mean, when you're playing at the FCS level, you want to watch the guy and be like, you need to be the best athlete on the field when I'm watching. And he absolutely checks that box. Contact balance, like Laporta, is very good. I'm impressed with him there. A lot of the nitpicks I had on him are just like technique things, right? I think he comes into blocks with high pad level. I think his hands are kind of all over the place, you know, especially in like pass protection. And then I saw some pretty nasty drops. I don't know if they were just concentration ones or things like that, but athleticism, like role, scheme fit, it's all there. I think he'll be a dang good player. I have a few more guys we can go into too, if you want me to just run through them.
Yeah, so let's get into that. Let's rank these six first.
Cool.
So to me, this is how I had them. And I made them in four tiers, actually. So for six guys. So I think I feel comfortable stacking them in a certain way. So it's like Washington, Mayer, tier, Kraft, tier. Then we get into the move guys, right? Like Kincaid, Laporta, tier, and then Musgrave. And then that, again, maybe I'm looking at Musgrave too much from the Packers' perspective. I think he's going to be valued very differently from team to team. But that's how I have it right now. How do you have those six?
Cool. So I tried not to go into these with a Packers mindset, as hard as that is sometimes. But tier one, Darnell Washington, Michael Mayer. Tier two, Dalton Kincaid. It's not maybe the Packers fit, but you know, it's just where I have it. And then tier three, I have Musgrave, a couple guys we'll talk about, Laporta, and then Tucker Kraft. And then a couple other guys we'll talk about in a different tier.
All right, let's get into it. Who are the guys in the Laporta Kincaid tier? Or not Laporta Kincaid, Laporta Kraft tier.
I really like Davis Allen out of Clemson.
I am barely aware that he exists. Explain him to me. I have not seen him. I've avoided actually the Clemson offense like a plague because it's like DJ.
That offense makes me sad, but you want to talk about like a guy that can be an inline blocker. Like Davis Allen checks those boxes. I think he's a really good run blocker. He has experience inline, wing. He'll even play like on the boundary or on the field just as an outside wide receiver. His technique as a blocker is excellent. Like he has really good hand placement. That play strength to lock on and like drive guys is really impressive. His contested catch ability is outrageous. He's not getting a lot of opportunities to separate. I'm not totally sure he can separate, but I'm pretty sure he had something like, I think PFF had him like 70% of his contested catches. He came away like with receptions, just some like outrageous play strength, body control, all of that. So if you want that like day two, maybe early day three inline red zone threat, like Davis Allen's your guy. I'm a huge fan of this guy. And then the other one I have in that same tier, watched him really late in this process, but Luke Schoonmaker, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, out of Michigan, 6'5", 251, nearly 33-inch arms. Like outside of Washington, I think this is the lengthiest tight end you're going to find. Like you can see all the athleticism in the passing game. He has that ability to create separation, especially like right off the release. His play strength isn't where I want it to be, but when I watch him as a blocker, his feet really stand out to me. Like his foot quickness, he's always keeping them moving. His hands are usually in good spots. So that's a player where I'm like, okay, you're big, you're long, and you, like your feet are moving when you're blocking. I can tell the effort's there. I can see the upside with this guy where I think he can develop into a really good all-around tight end. So those are the two guys in that tier that we hadn't covered yet.
All right. I'll watch him for next week and we'll come back with thoughts on them. Who are the other guys that you watched in this class? Because there's a ton of tight ends, apparently. I mean,
there are.
Daniel Jeremiah, there's a ton of tight ends. So those are the guys in that tier. Those are the guys that should be in the conversation at that level. And then you've seen some other guys too, right?
The day three guys I have. Josh Wiley, I think, out of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
6'6 and a half, almost 250. He's just an inline blocker or an insert guy. Honestly, the way I described him for my Packers fit is just like, if you want the big guy that can kind of catch and put him in that Alan Lazard role, just throw Wiley out there. Like, that's the day three guy I kind of see. And then the other two are pretty similar. Will Mallory and Cameron Latu out of Alabama. Will Mallory's out of Miami. Just two guys with good play speed. You can tell they have actual receiving threats. I did not like them as blockers.
They've been trying to get rid of Latu at Alabama. Again, they were
Latu
trying...
is my last ranked tight end.
Latu, I believe he came into Alabama as a linebacker, and they ended up converting him to tight end. And he kind of took that job over fairly early on in his career. But like last offseason, they were basically trying to buy a tight end.
That blows my mind. They couldn't find one. It's Alabama.
Well, they were willing to give him money. And then the guys were just like, nah, we're good. We don't need it. Which, kind of nuts. But I understand Musgrave, at least. Like, maybe if I were, I guess the Kraft, if you're at San Diego or South Dakota State, I mean, you're competing for a title already.
Yeah.
So, like, you're already in the title hunt. And you can do more at, you can be more of a difference maker at SDSU than you can be at Bama. You know what I mean? And Musgrave, I think his situation was just like, they're going to feed me. I don't know if Alabama's going to do that. Speaking of Alabama, I just want to throw this take out there. What the hell is that offense going to look like next year?
I don't think they have a quarterback.
Their quarterback's a runner. Like, he can't throw right now.
Is their offensive line getting better? Because it was pretty off. I mean, I watched that LSU game when I was watching Latu, and holy crap, that offensive line was abysmal.
They're not going to have any receivers.
How did we get here?
Yeah. Nick Saban, asleep at the wheel. I'm really worried about this Alabama offense next year.
Holy crap. That's wild to think about. I mean, my entire lifetime, basically, of watching football, Alabama has been a juggernaut. What weird. There's one guy that neither of us watched.
Koontz. Zach Koontz. From Old Dominion, he's a freak, like the most athletic tight end ever.
Pardon my language. Where the fuck are we going to find Old Dominion tape? I'm sorry.
I'm going to see if I have any.
There's no way I do.
What's funny is I think Koontz actually ended up taking the tight end job from Keon White. And Keon White now might be a first round interior defensive lineman from Georgia Tech.
That's who I thought you were talking about. I was like, that can't be right. It's got to be a different Keon White.
No, Keon White started his career as a tight end at Old Dominion, then moved to the defensive side, then ended up transferring up to Georgia Tech. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Koontz is 6'7" and a half.
He's a freak.
I haven't even seen him in pads. I have no idea.
I know he's a white dude. That's pretty much all I can tell you about him. I haven't seen anything from him other than he's a freak athlete and he's a white dude. That's all I know. I'll add him to the list. So Davis Allen from Clemson, Luke Schoonmaker from Michigan, and then Jack Koontz from Old Dominion. I'll watch them from next week.
Who do I need to go back? Who was I too low on?
I think we were pretty on board. Yeah. Like,
the fact that we both have Washington as tight end one makes me feel like I'm not insane. We had a discussion in the Slack before this, which I think kind of hurt the conversation overall.
Me sending clips and I'm like, dude, he's so big. How is he so big? I can't believe this.
I talked myself into it. He is now number 10 overall on my big board. Like, when you just think of
it.
When
in
you
this
think
draft
of
class?
And what's the floor? The floor is you have a sixth offensive lineman on the field. I don't understand. Yeah. That's an absolute win to me.
I believe it where it's like, Yeah, the floor is Mercedes Lewis. The ceiling is Rob Gronkowski. Fuck it. Let's ride. Let's do it. Send in the pick. You can convince me. Once you get past, like, the elite edge rushers and, you know, if your team needs a quarterback or if your team needs a corner in this draft or if your team needs a tackle, right? Once you get past those, then it's like, Darnell Washington. I don't know. Would you take Washington over any offensive non-quarterback offensive skill player in this class?
Yes.
I think I would too.
Oh wait. Well, if I'm any team, I hate to say it, I think about Bijan Robinson. But it's Green Bay. He's so good.
Bijan, by the way, for sure going in the first round. I don't know if there's prop bets about that and stuff like that. He's for sure going in the first round. I talked to people down there in Indy, and it's a lock.
Big boards of people who are credible, like NFL scouts. He is a top 5 to 8 player on their big boards.
He's going to go that. He's not. I don't know if he's going to go that high, but he's went in the top 10, I wouldn't be surprised, and I really do think he's going to go in the top 20. Next week, so we're going down the list by needs, right? So we already talked about safeties, right? We just talked about tight ends. Next on the list, interior defensive linemen.
Yes.
I'm excited because this is, in theory, my area of expertise, right?
Perfect.
I haven't really watched any of these guys. Like, I'm looking at this list. I haven't seen Kalijah Kancey yet from Pittsburgh.
You're killing me,
haven't seen Mazi Smith. I've seen a little Keanu Benton. I've seen Siaki Ika. He had a really bad combine, the big nose tackle from Baylor. Brian Bercy, I need to go back and watch his 2021 stuff after he ran what he ran. And then Jalen Carter, obviously, it's like, well, what's going to happen with the off-field stuff? So I'm excited. There's a lot of guys in this draft class on the interior defensive line. I think Green Bay's going to end up taking one. I don't know how early it's going to be, but I think it'll probably be first 3-4 rounds. So hopefully we can pin one of those guys down.
I got 12 interior guys already graded, bro. You got to catch up.
Dude, you're so far ahead of me.
The whole reason I did that is so I wasn't scrambling last minute. And let me tell you, man, it was a lot of work during the season, especially while coaching. It feels great now.
Yeah.
I gotta coast next week.
Kick your feet up. All right, guys. Review positively. Share with friends. Stay tuned to the feed. I'm almost certain we're going to have some sort of, like, reacts to Aaron Rodgers being traded podcast at some point this week.
Probably plural podcasts.
Probably fair. Think it's happening. You know, there's all the smoke. I'm not surprised. Again, feel very comfortable when I stuck kind of my neck out and said, like, I don't think the Raiders are involved really at all. That ended up becoming true. Oh, the other thing, I did a little hashtag sources this week. This is how we'll end it. Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee. Apparently the Packers like him. I don't really understand it.
How does that work with Christian Watson?
Yeah, so Hyatt is a guy who's a speed guy for Tennessee. They play a really weird offense where you're basically just running away from coverage, which sounds like, oh, duh. Totally just run away from the coverage instead of running into it. But that only works if you're basically just taking vertical shots constantly because you're not working in rhythm, like all the rhythm timing stuff, like none of that's happening, right? Hyatt is significantly smaller than what they usually look for out of wide receivers. Was told that by multiple people at this point and had more even reach out to me after I reported it and were like, yep, heard the same thing, that he is like their Chris Olave in this class. They really like Chris Olave last year, and apparently he's probably their guy at the position. So
I think what I need to remind myself on, because we talked about it even in this pod, it's not he can't do it, it's that he wasn't asked to do it.
100%. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
if you're just looking at, like,
he's so fast.
He's so fast. And the one good thing about the Tennessee offense is they basically put two things on those guys' plates, right? It's their releases and their deep speed. Like, those are the two things that you have to basically nail down to be able to play in that what they call it, like, veer and shoot. I don't know if that's the right term to kind of describe it, but I've heard people call it that. It's basically like the old Baylor or Browse offense. So I don't know. I'm interested, if he is the selection, to see how it ends up playing out, but I guess we'll see if he ends up being the guy. So keep an eye on Jalin Hyatt. We won't talk about wide receivers for another 2 weeks, I think, is how this ends up working out. But worth mentioning, he's kind of the Packers dude, according to hashtag sources. So
13 and 15, Jalin Hyatt and Darnell Washington. Two first-round skill players the year you get rid of Aaron Rodgers.
Let's do it. I don't think the Packers are going to get that first-round pick.
I don't think so either.
Go Pack, unless, go.
Is Bakhti – wait. Instant reaction. Is Bakhtiari still on the team after this trade?
He fucking better be. Go Pack, go.